Welcome to the Chocolate Cake Bites podcast. This is a podcast where we will discuss the sweet nuggets of goodness that come from living the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Ken Williams. The opinions, attitudes, thoughts, and ideas that we discuss are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily a reflection of the actual doctrines of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Thanks for listening and enjoy this week's conversation. And back with us is favorite co-host, not Brendan. Oh, he must be at work still, I guess, because I ambushed him last week. Oh, Brendan, great.
Oh, really?
Did you come to record?
Yeah, I guess.
So I think maybe it's that convenience factor that made him assume that he was favorite. But of course, never the favorite. He's always somewhere, at least second place. but he brought something up. And I think I'm on a streak, 3 or 4 episodes in a row where I've mentioned Chris. I can't remember for sure. And so Chris, another shout out for Chris. And I'll actually do a shout out. I did actually start a new podcast called Chris's Kinning. You can find that wherever you find every other podcast. And you can just hear, it's really just my conversations, things that I would tell Chris if I knew he was listening. I don't even know if he's listening to that one. They're short episodes. I've got 2 or 3 up right now. I've got another one I need to post. It's just me.
This is fantastic.
I'll hear something that is intriguing and I'll say, Chris, what do you think about this? And then I never get any feedback. So it's kind of like talking to my kids anyways. So
that's fair.
But Brendan said something. He was talking about faith and it got me thinking about a situation that I know of. And I think a lot of times in, and I'm just going to make it very broad. I think a lot of times in Christianity, is it fair to say we misunderstand faith? I think it is fair to say that because I have no idea what faith is. And so there's a,
I'll say it. Some backlash can be on me.
Sure.
And I'll say it.
And the way that they're going to reach out to you is to me.
Ken at Chocolate Cake Bites.
Exactly. Oh, shout out to Cheyenne, by the way. Be safe. Just wanted to make sure that you got that out there. Because I saw something on Facebook that she got hurt. So sorry about that, Cheyenne, and be safe. Come on. Have to work on my safety topics. We'll have our monthly safety topic on our, on our Chocolate Cake Bites podcast. So there's a family that I was aware of where the husband was very ill. And the wife was hopeful that with enough faith, he would not pass away, which he ultimately did, complications of cancer. And this is secondhand, the way that I heard the story, this was from family members that that I'm connected with. But the stories that I heard were things like she would not allow for people to say anything in his presence or anything in her presence that indicated that people believed anything other than he was going to make a full recovery. When they prayed for him or over him, they were not allowed to pray for anything other than that he would make a full recovery. And so that got me thinking, and I think we may have brought it up on the podcast before, but it got me thinking, at what point, well, first of all, what is faith? Faith, if we look at the definition in, is it James? That faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen?
We'll go with that.
Okay. So what is the difference between faith and belief? And there's a quote. I'm gonna let you, I don't even remember. Were you the one who sent me the quote about faith and belief?
It's possible.
I can't remember. I should be prepared.
I was listening to, I think, a podcast. I wish I could remember which one it was, but they were talking a lot about faith is trust. Like you can substitute those words would almost be interchangeable with each other. If we have faith in something, we're trusting that God is going to deliver, or we're trusting that what we've been told is true, or like, and I have really liked that distinction. It works well in my brain as far as faith being more equivalent to trust. There may be times where that doesn't apply. I don't know. I don't want to necessarily think about that right now, but like for right now, I feel like that, for me, that's a good substitution. And so belief and trust are not even remotely close to each other in my understanding. Okay. So that helps make the distinction.
Okay. So I found the quote that I was thinking of. I don't know that you were in on this. This is from Justin. I asked Justin if he wanted to be part of the podcast and he said,
no.
And so
Justin, why are you being like that?
So I asked him again. He said,
no.
And
so much attitude.
I know. Shout out to Justin. So he said, he sent me this text and he said, I came across this quote from Alan Watts that talks about faith and belief. And I thought it was intriguing. Here's the quote. We must here make a clear distinction between belief and faith, because in general practice, belief has come to mean a state of mind, which is almost the opposite of faith. Belief, as I use the word here, is the insistence that the truth is what one would leaf, L-I-E-F, or wish it to be. I'm going to say that again because I'm not sure. I don't know. Belief, as I use the word, is the insistence that the truth is what one would wish it to be. Okay. I can get that. The believer will open his mind to the truth on condition that it fits with his preconceived ideas and wishes. Okay, so I think I got that figured out. He continues, faith, on the other hand, is an unreserved opening of the mind to the truth, whatever it may turn out to be. Faith has no preconceptions. It is a plunge into the unknown. Belief clings, but faith lets go. In this sense of the word, faith is the essential virtue of science and likewise of any religion that is not self-deception. That's Marcin calling, by the way. Should I answer the call? She would kill me. Hello, caller. You're on the air. No, I declined the call. So belief is, so I'm going to summarize it the way that I understand it. You tell me if you have any different thoughts or additional thoughts. Belief is wishing or wanting something to be true. Faith is being open. Faith is being open to whatever is true.
Ooh, I love that. Yeah.
So, and that's, I wish I could take credit for it, but that's the way that I am reading this. Faith, on the other hand, is an unreserved opening of the mind to the truth, whatever it may turn out to be. Faith has no preconceptions. It is a plunge into the unknown. Belief clings, but faith lets go. So, thoughts?
Yeah, I really like those definitions. And I do feel like there's been a blurring in Christianity of, you know, of those two words.
Okay.
And
so,
I think we use in Christianity, we use the term believe to also mean know.
Right.
There's some, you know, confirmation bias in there when we hear or see something that agrees with us, but then also a quick rejection if we hear something that, you know, doesn't align with what we want to be true, like under that definition of belief.
Yeah. And I think we covered some of that a couple weeks ago when we talked about personal revelation versus personal confirmation.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. I think that there's confirmation bias in that, in belief a lot of times. So I think having belief, that's easy. We just choose something. I want my dad to recover 100%. I want my kids to do what I think they should do on their path. And all these things, I could say I have faith. I have faith. I have faith that with the grain of a mustard seed, that dad can recover, or that my kids will make the right choices, or that I will, whatever. I was telling Annette earlier, I'm going in for my annual physical tomorrow. So as this airs, I have already seen my doctor, and I know what he's going to say. He'll say things like, "So how's your diet?" And I'm going to say, "It's amazing. Haagen-Dazs and Ben and Jerry's are delicious. Salsa. Oh, I did have some salsa for lunch today. It was great." So I think a lot of times we misunderstand. Is that what I'm trying to say? We mistake belief for faith. We think we're talking about faith and we're really talking about belief.
Right. Well, and I think some of that comes from the transactional relationship that at least I know I was taught, and I don't think that I'm alone here, of a transactional relationship with God. I think culturally, I can only speak to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints because I've attended other churches, but right. not ever been a member of other churches. And of if you do the things, then you get the things. Right. And I think that's confirmed in some of the scriptures and, you know, like train up a child in the way that he should be. Mm-hmm. And when he's old, you know, if you do this, if you raise your kids, right, then they're going to be, well, sometimes in our religious faith, we think that means they're going to stay in the faith, mm-hmm. right? If you raise them in the faith, they'll stay in the faith. We have this transactional or ask and ye shall receive.
Right.
So we have this kind of like, I've been working really hard over the last couple of years to kind of break out of this transactional view of faith,
yeah.
right? Because there is no faith if I'm like only doing the thing to get the thing.
Right.
Right. And it doesn't matter how hard I believe, I'm going to get the thing. You might get the thing, mm-hmm. right? And that goes to, that's a whole other episode that we could talk about. What sometimes can feel about the arbitrariness of God,
yeah.
right? When you're like, but I did the things.
Yeah.
And I didn't get the thing that I wanted.
So there's something that I read yesterday. There's a book I've been reading that quotes Doctrine and Covenants, and I'm going to see if I can find the quote. I probably can if I read it quickly here. It's the see, you should sing or do something well just to stall for me. That'd be amazing.
It's too bad we're not doing video because I could like show off what's happening around me. Yeah,
I know. I thought about doing video today, but I didn't. I just didn't. Oh, here it is. There is a law irrevocably or irrevocably, I don't know which way you prefer to say it, irrevocably decreed in heaven before the foundations of this world upon which all blessings are predicated. And when we obtain any blessing from God, it is by obedience to the law, to that law upon which it is predicated. That's Doctrine and Covenants 130, verses 20 to 21. So the thing about that is there are laws. There are, we'll call them natural laws. And I think, I don't know how this fits into everything yet, but I'm just going to throw out, there are laws, and I'm not talking about things like the law of, I don't even know what I'm saying, but there's the law of cause and effect.
Okay.
This is a universal law that the law of cause and effect is that everything that happens, every effect is the result of a cause.
Right.
So I think, and this is me just making stuff up. I'm still waiting for the episode where you change your mind in the middle, but
I am here for this.
before we started recording, both of us were saying, we have no idea where this is going to go today because we just don't, neither one of us has necessarily any preconceived agenda. So the law of cause and effect means that if you are, you could probably take anything. First of all, let's take the example that I used earlier, that if I pray hard enough, or if I quote unquote teach my child the way that he should go, then when he's old, he will not depart from it. The departing, I'm not the cause of that, or the not departing. I'm not the cause of that. The effect is the departing or the not departing. I'm not the cause of that. And so because you and I both have families where we taught presumably similar things to all of our kids. Uh-huh. And some of us have kids that departed, and I'll put in air quotes, the path. And so based on the law of cause and effect, they departed a path, but based on the law of cause and effect, we can't be the cause of both. So my teaching my kids the things that I taught them can't be the cause that one stayed on the path and another one left the path.
I agree with you, but that is where, I don't know if that's our human brains.
Yeah, I think so.
Or if that's or partly even like a cultural transactional relationship that I think is just ingrained. Like I see it so many different places now that I'm like looking for it, but we do feel that way. We meaning collectively, like every person that I've ever talked to about this is like, what did I do wrong? Where did I go wrong? Did I not have enough family home evening? Did I not do enough of this? My kids have left the path, or what did I do wrong for my kid to make this choice or that choice? But then on the flip side, right? Like, when they do great things, we're like, I'm an amazing parent. I did all of the things.
So what if we're not the cause of either one of them?
I don't think we are.
What if they have agency outside of us?
Correct. And I think it was either, I think it was Ganelin Condi. I love her. She talked about we tend to take ownership of our children, but we don't own them. We're stewards of them.
True.
And when you shift out of this ownership and into a stewardship, then it doesn't reflect. It's not because of what you did or didn't do. It honors their agency.
So I heard something, and I can't remember if I brought it up on this podcast or not. I was telling somebody, and I don't remember if I was recording at the moment, but
there was a
person who was complaining about a child who was not following the path, whatever the path was. It was, I don't know, getting a job and being a productive adult, whatever it was. It was something their child was not doing, what the parent imagined the child should be doing. And so the person who was hearing the complaint and was coaching on how do you deal with this asked for the child's age. Oh, he's 43. And the coach said, if he's 43, he's not your child. He's a relative, but he's not your child. And the point was they have agency. They're decision makers outside of you, and you can't beat yourself up because somebody made a decision. And it's that same law of cause and effect. You're not the cause of them not getting a job. There's a different cause. And you can probably dig into reasons that might be true. But, and I'm trying to think about, okay, so how does this work out in a faith versus belief situation? And there's so many things going through my head. I don't know. So if we think about a miraculous healing, which we hear stories about, that somebody had a very slim chance to survive an operation or whatever, and then, and you know, things worked out, and all of a sudden, so there's still a cause and effect at play, and maybe there's some divine handiwork that's happening, but the thought that came to my mind was, are my prayers going to change God's mind? If I pray really hard, really, really hard, am I going to change his mind?
I think we have evidence that the answer to that is no. And if you want to go back to, in modern times, modern-ish times, you know, Joseph Smith, like, hey, can I give Martin the pages? No. Okay, but now can I? No. What about
still,
now?
Still no.
Still no.
So yeah.
I don't think that we can, but I also know that as humans, we don't necessarily understand that bigger picture.
Right.
Right. We only live in our own worlds with our viewpoint, which doesn't even work well with other people's viewpoints when they conflict with our viewpoints.
I know, because we feel so right. And that's just annoying to those of us who are right. That other people tend to think that they're right too. So how do we exercise faith? What does it mean to exercise faith as opposed to exercising belief? I think, so if we go back to this Alan Watts, is that his name?
I think so.
Yeah. His quote, that faith has no preconceptions. It's a plunge into the unknown. Belief clings and faith lets go. So to me, if I go back to this original situation where this woman was so hopeful that enough, and I'll use in air quotes, faith, prayer, whatever.
Vibes.
Yeah. All of that would change the trajectory of her husband's health, which ultimately he died. So I think in hindsight, we can look at that and say that was belief. It was not, because faith is the hope for things that are not seen, but are true. And I don't like the thing that has rubbed me wrong about that scripture, which all that means is that I don't understand it. But the thing that's rubbed me wrong with that scripture is that I assume that the way for me to determine whether something is faith or belief can only happen after the fact, which doesn't help me know if I'm exercising faith or belief. Does that make sense?
It does, and I'm going to yeah, but you.
Good.
Because based on that definition that you shared at the beginning, faith is, what did you say it was? Like being open to whatever.
Uh-huh.
So I think
it's the unreserved opening of the mind to the truth.
Okay, so I think you can tell in the moment of like, am I truly open? I think Heidi talked about this, our niece Heidi. Maybe you did. I don't know. I've heard it a lot over the years of, but if not.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And so I think if you're in a but if not mindset,
okay.
And I can't remember all of the, for those that may not understand what the but if not is, you might have to explain. But if you're in a but if not mindset, you're absolutely exercising faith because you're open to whatever may end up happening. And if you're not open to not getting the thing that you want, then that's going to be more of a belief mindset where you're not actually exercising faith. And I think this is maybe where we get a little bit confused in our faith tradition of, you know, I said the prayers, you know, I did the things. And so now I ask, now I'm going to receive what I want, right? We put the little, like in brackets or in parentheses, you know, ask, comma, and you shall receive, parentheses, exactly what you asked for.
Yeah. So this is, but if not, this is a talk that was given in General Conference by Elder Dennis Simmons back in April 2004. So 20 years ago. It seems like it was more recent than that. But
it could have been referenced.
It could have been. And this is just what came up in my quick search. He starts by saying, as a young man, he came home from a basketball tournament and they had lost. But he had had faith that they'd win. So he realizes that that's not what faith is. It's not bravado. It's not a wish. It's not hope. And he references the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were thrown into the fiery furnace. And so this is quoting from his talk. The three young men quickly and confidently responded to Nebuchadnezzar, "If it be so," which would be if you cast us into the furnace, "our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand." And he interjects and says, "That sounds like my eighth grade kind of faith." But then they demonstrated that they fully understood what faith is by continuing, "But if not, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." That's a statement of true faith. So going back to my thought about, so if we take this Alan Watts definition of faith, they start out by saying our God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Not that he will, but he's able. So maybe that's where we start with faith. I know that God can. I know that God can save us from whatever you inflict on us. And they go on to say,
I think it's important to point out, like, whatever a human being, right? This is another human being. Uh-huh. So sometimes I think we have to put that into context for now, of whatever other human beings inflict on us, right? Which is usually where our stuff that we're dealing with comes from, is the actions, the agency of other people. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Continue.
That's true. No, I think that's right. I'm just kind of analyzing this passage. He goes on to say they knew that they could trust God even if things didn't turn out the way that they'd hoped. So there's a difference between the hope. So their hope is God's going to save us, but their faith is, but if not, that's where they're open to whatever happens. But if right. not, here's the decision that we're going to make. Here's what's going to happen, and we're going to continue on the path the way that we see right. So, I think
it's a little muddy there for like us now, uh-huh. because we read these scripture stories, we read these parables, we read these accounts that were written. If they were true things that happened, they were written after the fact, right? With hindsight,
yeah,
vision, and I know I personally have forgotten many times, like, oh, Nephi didn't write this when it was actually happening. Moroni wasn't writing this, you know, Mormon wasn't writing this when it was actually happening to him. It was later, after he had had some time to reflect and think about what had happened and have the big picture. And so when we're in those, it's easier because you see, you have that full, it's come full circle, you have the closure. So it's easier to see maybe God's hand or while you're in it. And most of us are in mess our whole lives, right? Because we don't get to see a lot of the come full circle in our mortal lives.
Okay, so I'm gonna.
Are you gonna yell at me?
No. I'm. Things are starting to come together for me. I like it. So, I think the difference here's how it's coalescing for me in my brain. The difference between faith and belief is my way or the highway. And faith is, I don't know how, but I know it's going to be okay. I know it's going to work out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but that feels really scary because
it's terrifying.
What if it doesn't work out? Parentheses, the way I wanted, right? We have that as human beings,
right.
We have that little like in asterisks or in italics or like in parentheses after it, like, it's all going to work out. And if it doesn't work out the way we wanted it to, then right. we feel like it didn't work out. Our faith was misplaced. It was misguided.
So I'm going to say that it's not faith.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying, like, people who are listening
start
to this,
arguing with me. If we're going to have an argument,
people who are listening to this right now are going like, no, that's not. So I'm speaking for them right now. I can hear them.
Oh, okay. So here's how it's coming together for me.
And you know what? To be honest, Ken, I think that all the time too.
That it should be your way?
Yes, because I know me pretty well. And sometimes I feel like, yeah, I know what's best for me. What would be best for me is to not have to deal with this situation so I can better show up in this other circumstance. And I did ask and I did do all of those things. And to exercise faith, if it's defined this way, which I believe that it is, mm-hmm. I hope that it is, even though it's like cringily uncomfortable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Uncomfortable is an understatement.
It's like a trust fall. It's like, yeah. It's that trust fall. I saw this video where there's this in Denmark or something, this ride that you can do where they take you up to the top of the tower. They buckle you into this, like it's got backboard and then kind of like a seat. And then they hang you. So you're kind of like sitting in a hammock type of thing on this backboard. And then you're dropped a free fall.
Nice.
However many feet you're going, your body's going 55 miles an hour. That's how fast you're falling until you land into a net, uh-huh. right? Not me, but a actual like landing device. And so they were talking to people as they were getting ready to go on and they were getting off. And I was thinking like old me would have done this like that, like yeah. in a heartbeat, I would have been all over it. Like brain injured me probably wouldn't because it would just be horrible.
Too much.
but I thought about like the feelings that we feel when you're having to do a trust fall like that, when you're not sure your jerk friends from middle school are going to actually catch you when you're right. like dropping back. That's what it feels like to exercise true faith.
Yeah.
And it's I just feel like we need to put it, it's extraordinarily difficult yes. and very uncomfortable yes. because it's probably not going to work out the way you wanted it to.
Right.
Usually it doesn't work out the way we hope secretly in our heart that our husband is cured or, you know, that the bone miraculously heals or that the person is safe, even though they're making terrible driving choices, you know, or whatever the circumstances.
Right.
Like, it's usually not going to work out the way we want it to.
So I think that the problem, if it's not working out the way that we want it to, then our vision is obscured. We have an incomplete vision. So
also like to be in control. That's a human thing to want to be in control of at least ourselves.
And we can be in control of a few things.
Somebody asked me like, do you feel like you're a control freak? And I said, over myself, absolutely.
Right.
I'm very uncomfortable when I'm not in control of myself.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like I have to control other people. So mm-hmm. if that's what you mean, by when I was telling this person, that's what you mean by, are you a control freak? Then no, I'm absolutely not. But if it's about me, I'm absolutely a control freak. So surrendering that control to somebody that I can't see and I don't remember experiences with
right.
is difficult.
So two different directions I can go. No, so going back to the, I was watching a movie the other day. It's called Ordinary Angels. Phenomenal movie. I think you should watch it. And when you're watching a movie like this, this is about a girl, 6-year-old girl who needed a liver transplant. And over the course of the movie, life happens and things are challenging and it's a movie. It's based on a true story, but it's a movie. And so, you know, based on 98% of movies that exist, that it's going to work out. And so when they're faced with the foreclosure of the home, or they're faced with the fact that they have hundreds of thousands of dollars in medical debt, or when they're faced with the fact that there's a tornado that rips through the town and destroys half the houses, and or when you've got the liver transplant that she needs, but there's no way to get to the hospital that's 6 hours away. I think it's 10 hours away if they drive, and they have 6 hours to get there. Otherwise, she won't survive. And so if we're limited to my way or the highway, if we're limited to this idea of belief that no, they have to open up the roads, but they can't open up the roads because the roads aren't safe. No, they have to. Then we get stuck in this, and by the way, she gets a transplant and she survives. So I hope
spoilers. Now you're going to have to do a spoiler alert.
But it's a movie. They're not going to end with all these Herculean efforts and all of a sudden, nope, she missed it by 45 minutes. And here we are at her funeral. The end. That's not how movies go. Have you not seen the Hallmark Channel? Every single movie ends with them getting together.
Every single movie. And I think that's why it's a movie tangent. Me Before You was so gut-wrenching is because it didn't work out. Mm-hmm. Right? I don't know if you've seen that movie. I'm not even recommending at this point because I don't remember anything about, except for it didn't work out in the end. Sorry if that's a spoiler.
It was made.
But people talked when people were talking about the movie, they were just like, they thought it was going to all resolve, yeah. Right? They thought it was going to go one way.
Right.
But you're right. All the Hallmark movies, it all works out.
100%. And so in a situation like that, I can understand faith. This family, and primarily there was one player who just had faith. She was going to do whatever she had to do to make it work. And when one avenue was blocked, she went around it. And when that avenue was blocked, she found a different way. And I think that is faith. I think that's, I'm going to do every single thing. And even when other people around her were saying, there's no way. In fact, at one point, the father is on the phone with the hospital to say, we can't make it. There's no way I can get my daughter there to receive this transplant. And he gets interrupted and told, we found another way that we think will work out. And so hopefully that's not too much of a spoiler because with a movie, it's just going to work out.
Right. But that also feeds into our flawed thinking that life should also work out. Right? The girl should get the guy if you want to Hallmark it.
Well, okay. So I'm going to be out about you on this one. That goes back to, we think we're the ultimate authority on how things should work out.
Right. We do absolutely think that. Yes. So
what if we're not?
We're not. And in my logic brain, I know that I'm not. I hope I'm not because there's things that I'm like, ooh, I hope that there was somebody above just going like, oh, Annette, a little eye roll, a little shake of the head, like, okay, pat me on the back and be like, all right, come on, let's go. But yeah, in the moment, right? As far as people on earth, I know me better than anybody else.
So do we misunderstand that when things don't go our way, when we're stuck in that idea of, and this is just it's a clunky way of saying it, but my way or the highway. I want it to go, I want this result and I want it to happen after following these steps. That I'm calling belief and the faith yes. that I'm going to get to the end result. I just don't know how. I believe it's going to take this path. I believe I'm going to get on I-65 and get to the hospital, but I don't know if that's going to work because it may be closed. Because of
but also when you're saying the end result, sometimes we have that in mind too. So then that's not faith if we're like working for the end result.
Well, and I think it depends on what the end result is.
You know, if the end result is health or recovery or I'm trying to think of other big things that people usually collectively come together for an end result for something. The job for the unemployed, or we have an end. We have this thing in mind of like, you're going to do that. You're going to go to school and then you're going to get the internship and you're going to get the job. Right. That doesn't always happen.
Right.
But that doesn't, and maybe that's that quote of if it hasn't all worked out, then it's not the end. There's like a really fancier way of saying that, but. Yeah.
So maybe when we're thinking about end results, we're being too narrow in our thinking.
I know I am. So I can only speak to me and I would.
Sure, but I'm thinking about, so if the end result is that my family member is miraculously healed, I think that's, I'm not sure how to articulate what I think is in my head. I think that I don't think that's necessarily the end result that we want. No, that's not what I mean. I think the end result is we need to be, open to better than what we imagine.
Right, but it's super, super uncomfortable.
Yeah. So there's a quote that I saw, and I don't remember where I saw it, but it's I'm finding it to be true. And that is that for us to gain something, we have to lose something else. So let's look at some of these end results. And if I want to gain let's just go eternal perspective and call it exaltation, living in the presence of God. For me to gain that, I might have to lose something else, which might be my Netflix binge days, or might be my... I know, I've been wanting to have one of those. We need to chat about some... shows that I've watched that I've enjoyed. So Annette, by the way, has never steered me wrong. And she's made some recommendations.
Well, did I ever steer you to the direction of Pushing Daisies?
Yes, you did. I love that show.
So this is what I'm thinking of as you're talking of every time Ned brings somebody back permanently.
Yes.
You know,
somebody else.
Somebody else is gone.
Yeah, that show's 20 years old. So if you haven't watched it, then sorry about the spoilers.
So great, though.
It is.
I told Caitlin about it, I don't know, about a year ago, and she binged the entire thing in a very short amount
seasons.
Of time. And
that's
it. I know, it's terrible. I heard a rumor that they might bring it back. They might.
I think it won't be the same. Jim Dale, I think, has passed away, and he was the narrator. He's amazing.
Brilliant.
Well, the writing was
We
amazing.
Digress.
But that's okay. It's a good digression. Yeah. So yeah. I think, so here's, and there's something that's just on the tip of my tongue that I'm trying to remember a situation. So here's what I'm imagining. Oh, okay. This goes back to the movie. So I'll give you one spoiler. This is a spoiler in the movie, Ordinary Angels. If you want to see it, then just when she goes into the bank, this is what I'm talking about. So you can just, the first time she goes into the bank, she goes in several times. So you can just not listen to this part. So I think a lot of times we think too small. I know I think way too small because I don't know what's possible. Yeah. I think we've talked ad nauseum about my attitude about goals and what's attainable. And because I think that, we have no concept of what's attainable. And so if I were to go into a bank having $415,000 of medical debt, what I'm limited to by my brain to what's possible is, let's get on a payment plan and don't come after my house, please. And so for the rest of my life, I'm paying $415,000 debt off. And this woman goes into the bank, and she, the end result is she gets it erased, eliminated, no longer exists. It's not canceled. It's just, it's gone. And that is so far beyond what I would have imagined. And that's why when I saw this, it was such a significant movie for me, because time after time, this woman goes for the impossible and she gets it. And it's because she's just not willing to give up. And so maybe when we have this belief mindset that we want it to be our way, we're limiting ourselves in ways that are not even, we can't even imagine how amazing things could be if we just opened up. So the relationship, it could be with somebody who's sick. So I've got maybe somebody in my family or my circle who's sick, and I want close relationships. That's what I want out of this. I want, and sometimes, I don't want to sound crass, but what if, and I'll use the example. There's a woman in our stake, Kim Martin, who had 1, 2, 3, or 4 kids. I think it might've been 3 kids die of cancer, and her husband. She had a son, and her husband both died within 2 weeks. And then her daughter died after that, and they had a son who died when he was 8. So, and I'm not minimizing something like that, but what if her capacity or our capacity to serve, to be connected to love, to be present. And I don't know what kind of gift there's a video out, and maybe I'll link it in the show notes if I can find it, about the blessings that she's found as a result of having experienced these painful losses. But maybe those experiences give us something that's going to make us even more able to achieve something greater. So tell me your thoughts on that, as I have been rambling, trying to...
It was a good ramble.
Okay, good.
Like, as you were talking, I was thinking, you know, you had mentioned earlier that we might have to give up something or lose something. And it could be something that we don't want to lose, right?
Right.
But what we get when we lose these, like, so for this lady who lost her husband, or I think anybody with any sort of like chronic illness, or I saw it with Aunt Kathy, uh-huh. You know, while she had her cancer, and definitely saw it with our parents. They got a level of compassion that they just didn't either have or understand before. And when we lose something, what we gain, usually, at least in my own, say what I have gained in my experience, has been the ability to see things that I couldn't see before. They were invisible to me.
Right.
With my own brain injury things, I've been seeing all sorts of holes in accessibility for all people. Uh-huh. Right. I've had my fingers in the deaf community for decades,
right.
Taking ASL, and I worked at a deaf school for a while, and but I didn't truly, I can't even say understand, because I still can't fully understand, because that's not my experience, but I didn't understand the gaps in accessibility,
right.
that members of the deaf community, members of the blind community, members of the, chronic illness community, any of the, I just didn't see them. And now, being a member myself of a chronic illness community, I can absolutely see, I can see them. I have a level of compassion for people who are struggling with things that are not at all what I'm struggling with.
Right.
When Dad had a stroke and then he got the dementia diagnosis, I have a really good friend whose mom had dementia, and she was able to minister to me in a way that I really needed. Mm-hmm. She could understand to a point what it was like to lose a parent when they're still there.
Right.
And so we do lose maybe whatever it is, the thing that we were trying so hard to like hold on to. Mm-hmm. But we do gain this really beautiful glimpse into like true Christ-like love, I think, because when you see those gaps, like you can't unsee them. And that might sound like a bad thing, but I think it's actually a beautiful thing, because you're able to step up and help and minister in a way that you were unable to before because you were just blind to it.
Yeah.
And when you were talking about, you know, the praying, and I don't remember exactly what you were saying, but we like to include like, if it be thy will. And I was like, I struggle to even say that because I'm like, I don't actually mean that. I don't mean it at all. I don't want it. I'm not even going to say like, but I really want this person to get better. But if it be thy will that they don't, I'm like, I don't want to say that because I don't think that. Like, right. I don't want them to not get better. I want them to make a full recovery. I want this particular outcome. And I know that that's a me problem.
Yeah.
Where I'm not stepping into a faith relationship. I'm insisting that my way is the best way because it's more comfortable.
And maybe that's, so maybe that's where we draw the distinction between belief and faith. If it's comfortable, probably belief. If it's uncomfortable, maybe it's faith.
I think that's beautiful. It's a meme.
I don't like it. I wanted to be comfortable. I wanted to be easy. I can't tell you how many days that I went into work thinking I just want a smooth, easy night. And the problem is that the smooth, easy experiences don't give us what we want. It doesn't give us, if you went to a movie, that we just had the Super Bowl a few weeks ago, and I don't watch the Super Bowl because I just don't care.
We were watching it, but we lost power, I think, during the halftime show. Our whole neighborhood was like, what? Oh, no.
But if you were watching a game, and I think I've brought this up before, and you had the 49ers playing the Riverside JV team, that's not even fun to watch because
right. You
get your third and fourth string people in. They're going to get stomped. And if you go to a movie and the couple gets together and they stay together and there's no conflict and they don't have the interrupted kiss, which always happens every single Hallmark movie. They're about ready to kiss and all of a sudden somebody did I interrupt anything? No, you didn't. Oh. We're just standing here talking. And there would be no enjoyment. And that's the same is true for our lives. Unfortunately, the same is true for our lives. when I would drive home from work and Marcin would ask about how my day was, it was never a great story when I told her that, yeah, all the planes came in on time and we got them offloaded. We didn't have any problems and my boss was great to work with and I didn't have any issues with my coworker. It was just a smooth day. That's a much better story.
Those are nice every once in a while.
Occasionally,
really
we need those. But are we going to get them?
No.
Our brains... are wired, our humanness, right? When we talk about the natural man, I'm air quoting that, are wired to want things as easy and simply as possible. So we are actually fighting our natural man to step into this discomfort of faith. You're going to have to stew like on that.
Yes. I think we've killed this one. But I've got something for next time. I don't know if I'll tease it. It won't be next week because I've already got that one recorded. But the week after that, maybe we should talk about forgiveness. We had a great sacrament meeting about forgiveness. And I'm not ready to forgive some people. So maybe I'll.
That's exciting.
Maybe I'll tease that. Maybe in a couple weeks we'll talk about forgiveness. But we still need to have the natural man conversation. We talked about that for a year. So maybe we'll talk about the natural man. So, but anyways, I think that I have gotten comfortable with a couple things. Number one, if it's faith, I'm probably going to be uncomfortable with it. And the comfort comes with knowing it's going to be okay or better, however it turns out. If I'm comfortable or if I'm pleading with God that things are going to work out my way, then that's not faith. That's belief. And I think those are two things that make me not super excited about faith. Knowing that it's not going to be super, super smooth sailing. So anything you want to add before we wrap it up?
Yeah, I just was going to add the, when we're trying to force God into a transactional relationship, it never works out, yeah. Right? We are the ones that become frustrated and upset. And
that's right. He's probably just smiling and saying, someday yeah, I'll learn.
Just like rolling his eyes a little bit, shaking his head, just patting us on the shoulder. Well, okay,
figure it out. And hopefully someday we do. But always a good conversation. And we'll talk about forgiveness someday when I'm ready to forgive. Yeah.
And I'm ready to forgive.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Chocolate Cake Bites. Please like, share, subscribe, and give us a 5-star rating and review. We'd love to hear your comments and ideas, and you can reach out to me at ken@chocolatecakebites.com. And before you end the day, take a few minutes to consider, who do you know who needs chocolate cake?